Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
The American Museum of Natural History in New York City is one of the world's top science museums. Made famous to a new generation by the Ben Stiller comedy Night at the Museum, it's also one of America's most beloved cultural institutions. But the museum has a dark side to its history, one that it tries not to talk about even today. This is John West, Associate Director of the Center for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute. Stay tuned for this episode of ID the Future, where we expose the shocking past of the American Museum of Natural History, a past where it promoted Darwinian efforts to breed a master race. In September 1921, scientists from around the globe gathered in New York City at the American Museum of Natural History. They came to the museum to participate in something called the Second International Congress of Eugenics. Eugenics was a scientific crusade to breed better human beings based on Darwinian principles. In recent years, the American Museum of Natural History has done its best to suppress its past as a promoter of eugenics. But now the story is being told in my new documentary, Human Zoos, part of which exposes the museum's prominent role in the American eugenics movement. Here's an exclusive audio clip telling the story of the museum's involvement in hosting the Second International Congress of Eugenics.
The Eugenics Congress at the American Museum of Natural History drew scientists from America's top research institutions, including Harvard, Yale, MIT, the Smithsonian, Ohio State, UC Berkeley, and the University of Texas. Participants included inventor Alexander Graham Bell and Charles Darwin's own son, Leonard, who lashed out at the threat biological defectives pose to modern society. Scientists were welcomed to the Eugenics Congress by then-president of the American Museum of Natural History, Henry Fairfield Osborne, who had been involved in the display of Otobenga at the Bronx Zoo. A future head of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, Osborne had become one of the most celebrated scientific champions of evolution in America. Soon he would become embroiled in a controversy with politician William Jennings Bryan over a fossilized tooth discovered in Nebraska. Osborne insisted that the tooth supplied irrefutable evidence of the existence of man-like apes in ancient North America. To his embarrassment, the tooth later turned out to be part of an extinct pig. At the Eugenics Congress, Osborne told scientists that eugenics was essential to the future of human evolution.
To know the worst as well as the best in heredity, to preserve and to select the best, these are the most essential forces in the future evolution of human society.
Osborne also attacked racial intermarriage.
500,000 years of human evolution have impressed certain distinctive virtues as well as faults on each race. Put three races together, you are likely to unite the vices of all three as the virtues.
Osborne argued that racial groups should be studied to determine what tasks each race is best fitted to accomplish. But it was clear that he already thought he knew the proper place of non-whites.
If the Negro fails in government, he may become a fine agriculturalist or a fine mechanic.
The American Museum of Natural History accompanied the Eugenics Congress with a major museum exhibition designed to sell eugenics to the American public. Participants included America's top publishers, insurance companies, government agencies, and private groups like the American Red Cross. As many as 10,000 people attended the special exhibition. There were no live humans put on display at the eugenics exhibit, but it was still a kind of human zoo. It put human racial groups under the microscope to judge their worth to society. There were displays highlighting differences between black and white babies in the womb, displays comparing the mental stamina of different races, displays reporting on the capabilities of immigrants, and displays showcasing equipment for measuring human intelligence and other features. There also were displays about the human brain. One compared the brains of criminals and non-criminals. But the most extensive brain display was created by anthropologist Alish Herdlichka from his growing collection of embalmed brains. Herdlichka left his original specimens stored in jars at the Smithsonian, but he brought gelatin models of the embalmed brains of apes and three races of humans. Herdlichka's presentation filled seven separate display cases. It also included a series of skulls from Native Americans. The skulls purported to show that Native American brains revealed primitive features from earlier stages of evolution. In the midst of more sophisticated displays were cruder exhibits featuring the blatantly racist books of Madison Grant and Lothrop Stoddart. Stoddart had published The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. Stoddart claimed that whites were in danger of being overrun by the colored races of the world, and he argued that immigration from what he called lower human types had to be rigorously curtailed.
The American Museum of Natural History remains one of the world's premier science museums, but to this day it has never officially apologized for the role it played in promoting the international eugenics movement. Nor does it like to talk about its history. In fact, it refused to be interviewed for my documentary. Even worse, it has sometimes tried to rewrite history.
In 2005, the museum mounted a major new exhibition on the life and legacy of Charles Darwin. The exhibition is still available today as a traveling exhibit. The exhibit contains a section on social Darwinism that fails to acknowledge any involvement by the scientific community in either eugenics or scientific racism. Even more glaringly, the exhibit also fails to disclose the museum's own role in promoting social Darwinist policies, like eugenics.
You can learn more about the American eugenics movement and the role leading science organizations played in it in my new documentary, Human Zoos. Human Zoos is now available for purchase or viewing at Amazon.com. You can also discover more information about eugenics and the documentary at the educational site humanzoos.org. That's humanzoos.org. For ID the Future, this is John West. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.